Hello, everybody. My name is Tyroli, and I am the host of the Foggy Jack Live podcast, and you are listening to the Gloomy Star podcast.
That's right, it is. Hello, and welcome back to the second annual Gloomy Star Halloween episode. I'm your host, Henry Bilbrey. On today's very special episode, some music that I found that I liked on the podcast, Kim's Story from the Philippines. An episode of her YouTube channel, Caitlin Doty, who's a part of the Good Death Society, explaining to people that death isn't a bad thing. So many other things, like my mom's story that she used to tell me when I was little, and some of the scary places in Cades Cove. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do this podcast, and for 2 years, and now the third season. I'm so happy that everyone has listened and supported the podcast. Also, you can email your ghost stories to gloomystar.ghost@gmail.com and patreon.com/gloomystar if you want to support the podcast even more. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy the second annual Halloween episode.
Without you knowing.
How do you do that?
In your yard. Maybe they'll bury at the dawn or if it was in an airplane. And then they move out in that house. Because their kids take them to different cities. And then until that house is abandoned. And then that's the creepy part. Sorry, because there are like bones there. You know, from different bones from Cemetery.
Yeah.
Some people said, you know, like some teenagers go there at night, and then they said when you look at the mirror, you really see a person passing by on you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's the whole story.
Yeah, and then sometimes you see persons there in the window.
Oh,
yeah, it's near the shore. It's close to our house. It's next to our house.
Yeah. So,
it's creepy, but then now the child reconstruct it again.
Yeah.
One of the kids gonna stay there.
Yeah, they teared it. They tore it down or something.
No, they didn't. They just like fixed the roof and everything because everything's falling to pieces.
Oh.
I think they're moving back in there.
Oh. Okay. Is that your ghost story, Kim?
No.
No.
What's a ghost?
What's a ghost? So that was Kim's ghost story. And so we're going on a small hike to a non-haunted building first. And then I'm going to tell you about the four other places we're going to. Like, I'm not sure what they're called, but we'll see when we get there. Okay, so we are coming to the Baptist church, and this church, there was some satanic human sacrifice. So we're gonna go look at it. So now we are at the Dan Lawson place. He killed his whole entire family and then hung himself in the root cellar because
he was gambling and he lost all of his money, and the angry mob was coming after him to pay, and he didn't have the money. It's quite creepy. There is a really creepy upstairs with these really weird steps that I don't think could support me because I stepped on them and they almost fell. So, yeah. Okay. So, there is a bunch of just wood all over the wall. Okay. So there's a giant mold thing. Oh, it's coming from that. So this is the altar where there was a human sacrifice. Right. I think it was on this. I'm not gonna touch it. There's a Bible and the preacher's stand. That mom is not called a pulpit. Pulpit is this. So this is, so I'll tell you a little bit more about it. So in, what was it? Something 93. It might have been, I don't know if it was 1893 or 1993, that there was someone that was satanically, there was a human sacrifice. And
how many times are you going to say human sacrifice?
I don't know. We're done. Okay, so we're here in the haunted cemetery. There's two churches. But one of the churches is haunted. I'll tell you more about that later. But we're in the haunted cemetery, and you can look at my Instagram. And there'll be pictures of some of the graves at the podcast thing. It's pretty unsettling, and there's actually a mass going on in the church. So I'll tell you a little bit about the cemetery. Oh my gosh, John just found like the tiniest grave. It looks like it's made out of a rock. So later in this episode or whatever, there's going to be a story about someone named Henry that lives in a house, and he's actually buried in the cemetery. He's buried in the cemetery, and he committed suicide in his house. And it is a quite unsettling story. But the reason this hotel is haunted is because this is the hotel of all the children that died. Also, some of the... See,
that one was a month old.
John just found one that was a month old. Not all of them are children, but more than half of them are children. And I think, in my own opinion, that children's spirits have a little bit more energy and can manifest a little bit better. And it's a little bit more sad, in my opinion. So I'm gonna let you go on with this episode and pay my respects.
There is something very serious going on in the world right now, and I thought I would take it into consideration and talk to you about it on this show. First, there have been many innocent black lives killed by white officers in the world the past few weeks. And I'm not going to say what I think about this, but it's common sense to know that this is wrong, and this must stop. Black Lives Matter. Please go donate. On a bunch of places, just Google Black Lives Matter. It is wrong that these people are being killed for the color of their skin, and it should stop. And now I'm going to be showing you a video from my dear friend Caitlin Doty. She is a mortician and a part of the Order of the Good Death Society, and
She actually owns a funeral home. She's a great friend, and this is one of her videos. And I found this episode most interesting, and I think you will too.
Have you seen one of these clickbait ads? Real life zombies. People believe they're dead. Walking corpse syndrome, are you next? They may prevent us from understanding that Cotard's delusion is a very real mental condition, with real consequences for those who suffer from it. Now, if you've never heard of Cotard's syndrome, that's not surprising. It's an incredibly rare disorder that even mental health professionals have a hard time wrapping their brains around. It's often connected to other pre-existing mental illnesses like clinical depression, psychosis, and schizophrenia. Cotard's delusion can come on rapidly, progress, and then dissipate just as suddenly. Cotard's may also be called walking corpse syndrome because the person believes that all or parts of them are dead. To be clear, it's not a vague experience of death, akin to asking an existential question. What, like, even is living? Instead, it's actually believing that your physical body has died and you are in a state of non-existence. It's a little different for everyone, but if you suffer from Cotard's delusions, your symptoms might include the belief that your organs are rotting, your organs are missing, you don't need to eat, you don't need to sleep, your limbs don't exist, you don't exist. And while many patients insist that they are dead, at the same time, they can also understand and articulate that the I am a corpse situation doesn't exactly make medical sense. A Japanese man with Cotard said to his doctor, "I guess I am dead. I'd like to ask for your opinion." The man eventually recovered, but during his period of death, he admitted that his condition defied logic. So it's the 1880s in France, which we know is the start of a very vibes time in France. Fin de siècle. Very gothic literature, very ennui, beaucoup décadence, etc. The neurologist Jules Cotard gives a lecture in Paris where he presents the case of a 43-year-old woman he called Mademoiselle X. Mademoiselle X believed she had ceased to exist. Cotard reported that Mademoiselle X assures us she does not have any brain, no nerves, breasts, stomach, or intestines. She's left, but with the bones of her disorganized body. This is a very poor French impression. Mademoiselle X believed that because of her damnation, she did not need to eat. She thought she could not die a natural death since she was already effectively dead. The only way she believed she could be freed from this state was to be burned, which, when others refused to oblige her request, she tried to accomplish herself. Tragically, Mademoiselle X eventually died from starvation, and 3 years later, this delusion she felt, this delusion of non-existence, was named Cotard syndrome, after the neurologist. It's named after Cotard, but it didn't start with him. Back in 1788, the French naturalist and writer Charles Bonnet described the symptoms experienced by an older woman that absolutely fit with the definition of Cotard's. One day, the woman was preparing a meal when a strong draft blew through and struck her on the neck. She was, quote, suddenly completely paralyzed on one side, as if hit by a stroke. For a few days after, she was totally out of it, but eventually she came around and was able to speak again. And what she said was that she was, in fact, already dead and should be treated as such, asking to be dressed as you would a dead person and put in a coffin. When her family was like, no, Mom, we're not putting you in a coffin, she got angry at her family for their negligence in denying her treatment. Fine, if Mom wants a coffin, we'll give her a coffin. Dressing her in a shroud, her friends and family laid out the woman in a coffin, mostly to calm her down. Once her body was arranged for viewing, she rearranged herself to look as neat as possible and expressed dissatisfaction with the whiteness of the linen before falling asleep. Which, extremely mom thing to do. honestly, if some embalmed bodies had the ability to speak and could comment on how they looked post-mortem... I'm sorry, this is not the time or video to get in a dig on embalming, and I sincerely apologize. This woman, who was otherwise physically healthy, as many Cotard's patients are, did recover after being treated by her doctor with a powder of precious stones mixed with opium. That's the coolest remedy I've ever heard. I don't even know what's wrong with me, but that would fix it. The woman believed herself to be alive again. However, the delusion would plague her for the rest of her life, returning every 3 months or so. It isn't some fabled disease from ye olden times. It's rare, but there have been documented cases of Cotard's syndrome throughout the 20th and 21st centuries.
Jerry has Cotard's, or walking corpse syndrome. The guy thinks he's dead even though he's walking around.
In 2013, author Esme Weijun Wang believed that, after fainting on a flight home to San Francisco, she had in fact died. She described this condition in her book, The Collected Schizophrenias, which I read recently, and it reminded me that I wanted to understand this condition more. Wang woke up and was elated by the realization that she had died, and at first her feelings about being dead were positive. She thought of her death as something of a second chance. She told the Washington Post, "I thought that I could do things in my life over and do them better." However, Wang's feelings about being dead changed. She began to believe she was in perdition, as she described it, a place of hell or punishment. This perdition period was marked by depression, anxiety, not eating, believing that her body was not hers, and that everyone and everything around her was fake. In her book, she talks about going to an electroconvulsive therapy consult, often a last resort treatment, and catching the eye of a young man. Quote, "The attractive, curly-haired one turned his head as he passed. Yes, I thought, our eyes meeting, you may think I'm hot, but I'm also a rotting corpse. Sucks to be you, sir." Wang's Cotard syndrome resolved after less than 2 months, seeming to leave as swiftly as it came on. In 2004, Graham Harrison woke up in the hospital and believed he was dead, more specifically that his brain was dead and that he had killed it. Harrison had just survived a suicide attempt, but he believed that trying to end his life via electrocution had resulted in the non-existence of his brain. Harrison said, "I just felt like my brain didn't exist anymore. I kept on telling the doctors that the medicines weren't going to do me any good because I didn't have a brain." Harrison went on to feel a profound sense of meaninglessness in his life. Things that used to bring him joy, like his family, his car, cigarettes, were of no interest to him. He lost his sense of smell and taste and saw, quote, "no point in eating." All this is very much in keeping with what happens to people with Cotard's syndrome. But what was unique about Harrison's case is that he was the first patient with Cotard's to have positron emission tomography, or a PET scan, look inside his brain. The results were baffling. The activity in his frontal and parietal brain regions was so low, it looked like the brain of someone in a vegetative state. Here's what the neurologist Stephen Laurie of the University of Liège in Belgium said about Harrison. "I've been analyzing PET scans for 15 years, and I've never seen anyone who was on his feet, who was interacting with people, with such an abnormal scan result. His brain function resembles that of someone during anesthesia or sleep. Seeing this pattern in someone who is awake is quite unique to my knowledge." So while Harrison wasn't dead, he wasn't wrong either that something was up with his brain. There's so much that's still unknown about Cotard's syndrome, but it's been suggested that it impacts the amygdala and the fusiform gyrus, parts of the brain that affect facial recognition and emotional attachment. It's also connected to Capgras syndrome, a delusion where a person believes that their friends and family have been replaced with imposters, thus making it difficult, if not impossible, to feel emotion towards those people. Cotard's has been treated with, among other things, antidepressants, antipsychotics, and electroconvulsive therapy, but there isn't really a clear-cut cure for the delusion, at least not yet. I learned a lot as we worked on this. Cotard's, to those who suffer from it, is very real. As much as we're all for reminding you, you will die and you'll all be future corpses, that's probably not very comforting to the very rare few who feel they are current corpses. We'll finish with a bit of an announcement here. Our nonprofit is holding our first virtual event on September 12th, which is also my mom's birthday, so everyone say happy birthday to my mom. Don't be rude. The Order of the Good Death presents The Mortals Market. It's been a rough last couple of months for local death-positive artists and artisans, and a rough couple of months for all of us. So let's do some shopping. I want all the precious things sent to my home. Your favorite artists selling their original work and Mortals Market exclusives all on one convenient website, mortalsmarket.com. All the money will go to the participating artists themselves and Self-Help Graphics, one of our favorite nonprofits that works with Latinx artists and is home to the longest-running Dia de los Muertos celebration. We're also about to launch brand new merch at the end of August. Honestly, save your pocket change. Don't get that sushi delivery because fall is coming and you'll need death things. Best way to stay updated is to follow at OrderGoodDeath on Instagram and Twitter. This video was made with generous donations from death enthusiasts just like you. It's video time. More than just the, but a little, more than just the web ab, more than just the, you don't exist. Oh, I did it. Charles Bonnet. What is right? Who can say? If I'm suddenly out of focus, the rest of the video will just be a whimsical, we'll just put it over like those dolphinscapes. Sea punk, that's what it was called. Sea punk. I'm proud of this line, so. I'll make sure it nails, I'll make sure it gets in there. To lean back, I've spent too much time sitting with good posture. That can't be good for me. Sucks to be you, sir. I like that line. So everyone say happy birthday to my mom. Don't be rude. I can do that better. Don't be rude. Phantom's
head. And I hope you enjoyed that. And this is the ghost story that my mom used to tell me when I was about 4 or 5. And she had to do it at least 20 times a night until she told me that it was definitely time for bed. Hopefully you'll enjoy it too.
Okay, so here's my ghost story. In a dark forest, there was a dark house. And in that dark house, there was a dark room. And in that dark room, there was a dark closet. And in that dark closet, there was a ghost!
Thank you.
Making a podcast means having a lot of bloopers and mess ups and people walking into you while you're recording and your dog barking and a lot of stuff. So I thought I would put this little segment together of about 10 or so of the times that I've just messed up on the podcast. It's quite fun. This is the highlight of my recording time, and I hope you enjoy. Dr. Jack Kevorkian. I lost my place. Hello and welcome back to the gloomiest. Oh, what was that? I think it was like a sneeze inhale at the same time. Oh, we're recording. Cut that. When I started recording this, oh my gosh, what was that? Oh my god. Oh my god! Oh, never mind. That was a cat or something. Agnes, go see. So, I don't really know what to tell you. Oh my gosh! I don't know why I did that. Okay, cut that. There is a cloud outside that's shaped like Jesus mixed with, like, Zeus.